Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Triforce podcast.
We're back.
We're actually recording half an hour late this morning because Sips was showing me and P-Flex's CK3
The Pennywhacker Empire.
Monster Empire, yeah.
And motherfucker, it's huge.
It's
I've
a big
never
one.
Seen anything like it. It's I don't understand one. How it's you've done one. It. It's like watching some sort of spiffing Brit stuff. I recommend CK3 to anyone. I was playing it this week. I had a good time. I think you do have to play it with a little bit of role play. You know, you have to take your time. You don't want to rush. You want to watch things happen. You want to see your children grow up.
You want them to grow up and turn into
crazy motherfuckers, or you know, you want to sleep with your auntie and have a hunchback child. You know what I mean? You want to enjoy it, savor it.
The multiplayer stuff. I've been doing that with the lads that I would have previously played like Hearts of Iron or Dota or whatever with. It was really funny because each of us would kind of specialize in something. Like my boy Munt just went down the intrigue tree. And he had a ridiculous amount of intrigue. And if we needed someone killed, we'd just say, there was like a queue of people that we would go
I
to
love
him with.
That.
And we'd be like, could you kill my heir? Because my next heir after him is a genius. He was like, yep, give me a minute, just kill the King of France. And he'd kill the King of France, and then he'd come and kill my heir, then he'd kill someone else. And by killing just the right people, he went from being Brittany and having one province to the entirety of West Francia. He was just now the leader
of
Francia.
This is some Game of Thrones shit. He's like your spy master.
He is.
Yeah.
He's like Littlefinger.
You need a eunuch. You need
Littlefinger, yeah.
You need a dwarf. You need everyone, right?
It was really something.
It's very, very Game of Thrones-y. I can't wait for the Game of Thrones mod, actually.
But
I think that'll be...
here's the one thing you need to understand about multiplayer Crusader Kings. If you have like five or six people playing and you save it and resume it at a later time... do not continue the game without all of you there, because the AI will come in and be like, why am I friends with this idiot? And just declare war on you. Like,
right.
My buddy Plague was like, he couldn't turn up. He was like an hour late or whatever. So we cracked on anyway. And he was Denmark at the time. And they just started taking everything and attacking everybody. It was horrifying. It was like, oh my God, we can't stop him. And he's like, it's our mate's empire.
But
so
that's
just
what
wait
happens. That's what happens in real history, right?
That's exactly
cause,
it.
Because the kids, like, you never know what your kids are going to be like.
Right.
They're dead.
Yeah.
And they're like some crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know?
You might have like that guy from Game of Thrones that was cutting people's wieners off and stuff like that.
Exactly.
That might be your kid.
Exactly.
You never know. Like, this is the same case for you. You know, you've established a period Flax bloodline and Sip's bloodline as well. And you have set a certain reputation, a certain threshold for greatness, right?
Yeah.
For behavior, for comedy,
high
for
standard.
Attitude,
very high standard.
For being
You're
cool,
saying my
for
kids
looking
could
good.
Be horrible people. That's an awful thing.
No, I'm saying your kids might be like fashion models, really talented photographers,
right.
Or like, you know, expert writers. You know, they could be like, they could really put you to shame. Or they could be a drug addict, dark disaster area. And you never know.
It's true. You never know.
You just don't know.
So I talked to Ben this week, who's got a family member who is just starting sixth form.
Right.
So like 16. And he was telling me, so this is sort of secondhand through him, but he was telling me how they were chatting about what they're doing, getting ready for going to school. And so what they've done is before the sick form started, all of the people have looked at each other's accounts through Instagram, okay?
Right.
This is some Black Mirror shit, right?
Right.
But apparently this is what people are doing now at school. before even like meeting each other.
Wow.
They first of all, none of them have got phone numbers of anyone else. If you have a phone number of someone, they're like really close. That's like your mum kind of thing, right?
Right.
Everyone else talks, and they don't use WhatsApp. They use Instagram like messaging.
Right.
And they all have an Instagram, and they've all checked each other out, and they all know each other before they've even met in school.
Right.
Okay. This is a world that terrifies me, right? Because Instagram is this place where people just mostly post pictures of themselves looking good, right?
Looking
you
perfect.
You take like 100 selfies.
They think. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but
I'd
mostly
say
self-recommendation
is no recommendation at all, really. When you think, you know, some of these people who are like, I look great. Do you? I mean, I don't think you look that great. Personally, but I mean, if you think you look great, I guess that's all that matters. You know what I mean? Like, what is all this shit?
I think they have an understanding of what is Instagram good, right? So
right,
it's like,
right.
What are the popular? I mean, it's these slightly above, head slightly turned, looking kind of cutesy, and there'll be pictures and stuff like that. Like, it's like they always take the most flattering picture of their house or where they are that's possible. So I think the issue is that you're presenting this perfect version of your life and yourself. That's why my Instagram is always me looking grumpy in a pretty basic place.
Right.
Like in front of a sock shop or something, because that's real life. I don't want to lie to people. Most of the time, you're not smiling and happy and looking perfect. Life is fundamentally pretty boring a lot of the time. So is that not worth sharing too?
I heard that Instagram is basically just fun. Now... just celebrities posting pictures of themselves doing what you guys just said.
There's definitely a lot of influencer stuff on that. Like, yeah. It's quite funny how I speak to people and they are fans of some Instagram influencer, and they think that they're the only person who is their fan, right? And so, but for example, one thing, you know, some nail polish or something will be delivered to the office and it won't have a name on it. And there'll be, you know, five different people who think it's theirs, because they're all actually fans of this Instagram person who isn't small at all. They're selling millions and millions of products.
Right.
And it's a really crazy different world. I think that
So these people, somebody on Instagram, or like an influencer on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's all they're done. That's all they're known for. It's just being on Instagram and people are fans.
There
of
are plenty of people like that. Yeah. Like all I mean, right. TikTok, there are people who are just huge on TikTok.
I can like just about understand like what like we do, that people would want to watch somebody like play a game, especially somebody who's like good at a game or whatever. I can understand that. Like I've watched, you know, obviously people... I don't think I'd ever just follow somebody on Instagram just because they're on Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you could do on Instagram that would sort of convert me to like a fan. Like, I mean, I guess maybe if you're into fashion or something like that, but like,
there's a couple of people that I've spoken to who follow weird people kind of just out of a morbid curiosity.
Right. Okay.
To see what they're like. Because they're like, I don't know, some people who were like involved in MLMs or are just particularly weird. And they're not usually good people or pleasant people either. It's like they just sort of, I wonder if that's like part of it, like this kind of curiosity of like, who is this fake person? Why do they act like this? What's led them down this weird path?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a very different audience from what we can imagine.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
we
that's
all
like...
do streaming or YouTube and... we understand, especially specifically around gaming. So the games that we like to play and what we like to watch, I think we just kind of, obviously everybody puts their own spin on it, but essentially that's a world that we understand.
Sure, yeah.
I don't understand why someone
I still don't even really
someone.
Understand this world that well. Like,
we understand at
I'm
least
used to it,
in part, right?
It
we
still
understand
doesn't really
it more.
Make a lot of sense, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it, surely to you it makes more sense, as it does to me,
yeah,
than
yeah.
someone
it,
following yeah. someone on TikTok who just says,
yeah.
Hi guys, check out my new shoes, looking great today.
Fuck, I don't it's even like, know what TikTok what? Is, honestly. I feel so old. Like, I don't even know what it
it's,
is.
It's like Vine. Do you remember Vine?
Yeah.
So TikTok is kind of like that. Only it's got a lot more functionality. It's a lot right. more community-based. Like, you can do things like create a duet. So you create, you do something where you say,
But all so right, it's more like video, like small videos, like yeah, somebody saying yeah, like, oh, I shit my pants.
But they're not just like 6 seconds like Vine. Like it's slightly they're not longer. Six seconds,
that would be great. That would be a great
TikTok. That would be a great TikTok. You should do that. Hey, I shit my pants. Yeah. What's up? Bam. End.
Oh, man.
It's very clever. TikTok is very clever.
They're often, they feel amateurish and they feel real and they feel ghetto, but they're often very staged or little jokes that are quite clever. And are made by people who know what they're doing, and it's got this TikTok has got this amazing algorithm where when you watch according to what you watch, it knows what other people have also. It's all about how you don't interact, okay, rather than how you do interact, right? So it's all about how long you sit there while something plays in front of you, okay, and don't turn it off. Right, rather than what you do click on. So people, it's all about that watch time thing that YouTube built in a few years ago as well. It's like if you watch something for longer than a certain amount of time, YouTube will just give you more of the things that similar people have watched for a similar amount of time. Right. See what I mean? It's weirdly clever like that. Anyway, TikTok, it's this weird thing. It's not unusual. It's not weird. But I wonder whether, I always give people the benefit of the doubt though in general. And like when we say people, I'm like, why are people into this? And I think I think that easily when you watch some weird guy, you're like, okay, I can see why this guy's weird and interesting and people might want to watch it. I think most people are similar in many ways.
There are definitely
as well.
Things I watch, like MRE Steve. Why am I watching a guy eat rations?
Yeah, but how are you watching? Like, are you
watching it on YouTube? I watch
every
the whole
day.
Thing.
Do you get a notification? Like, oh shit! Yeah, I knew MRE Steve. I can't wait to watch
literally,
this later.
Literally, yes.
Really? Okay.
And like, it pops up on my subscribe list. New video. I will watch it straight away. And I don't know why. It's just one of those things I really like.
It's comforting. It's familiar. It's like I do it too. I have this list of YouTube subscriptions and. And sometimes I actually have to unsubscribe to things that I feel are like, ugh. Like, I used to watch so much, like, Hearthstone stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to watch a lot of StarCraft, like, pro games and stuff as well. Yeah. And I had to, like, unsubscribe to a lot of these channels just to stop them. Otherwise, I would watch every single one.
What does YouTube currently recommend to you guys? Like,
I've actually got YouTube open right now. Do you want to know my recommendations?
Yeah.
This is what it's recommending. Omar sells a shipment back to Prop Joe. So that's a clip from The Wire. Because I watched a clip from The Wire yesterday, and now all it's recommending me is clips from The Wire.
Sure. Omar what?
Omar sells the shipment back to Prop Joe. Okay. 1.4 million views. It's just a clip from The Wire.
Right.
A guy playing a strategy game called, I think it's called Combat Shock Troops 2 or something, which is made by, have you ever heard of a company called Slytherin Games?
They make
ultra grognardy, very nerdy games, right? So this is kind of like games, that. Yeah. Very hardcore strategy game set in some sort of modern war scenario. Something where Jamie Vardy is making fun of Casper Schmeichel, which is a Sky Sports thing. Billy Joel's You're Only Human, which was in the most recent episode of The Boys.
Right.
On Amazon, that song by Billy Joel was
You're Only Human After All.
Right.
That one?
No.
Bizarre.
No.
No, okay. It's not that one. This one is called Another Advanced Useless Machine, which I'm intrigued to watch. This was uploaded seven years ago.
If you go on YouTube and you go to the top of the page on your homepage, at the top it says all, and then it should say some things.
Yeah. So do you want to hear the things?
Yeah, I want to hear the things.
Right. Columbo.
Wow.
Columbo is the number one.
It's alphabetically sorted, I think, but at the same time, I have been fiending Columbo clips for some reason. Or like a lot of the clips where he goes, just one more thing, sir. I almost forgot. Where did you get that gun? And the guy's like, oh, you got me, Columbo. You know, like a load of those I've been watching.
Yeah,
basically the reveals.
Exactly, the reveals for episodes of Columbo.
So each episode reveal compilation.
I know what you're going to say, Columbo. I know what you're going to say. Where did I get this gun? Well, you got me, Columbo.
Exactly.
You got me again.
Exactly.
I got no excuse.
And then the next one is comedy, which is fair enough. I watch a lot. I try to
comedy?
Watch
comedy.
Yeah,
that's broad.
A very broad. Then the third one is thrillers, and I don't know what that is doing there. And then baseball, fair enough. I do watch a lot of baseball clips. Strategy video games. And then there's one called scenes. I don't know what scenes. I think it must mean scenes from films. I guess that means scenes.
Nice.
And then there's Escape from Tarkov.
Right.
World War II.
Right.
Stanley Kubrick. Golf. history, Apple. Apple. I don't know if that means Apple as in the company Apple or literally apples. And then basketball. I'm not even a basketball fan. Then it says Super Bowl, because I've been watching NFL highlights, which are uploaded to YouTube. The season started this week.
This is really weird.
Then fantasy football. No idea why that's there. I don't do fantasy football. Not interested in it. Then podcasts. I think because occasionally I check in to look at the comments on a Triforce episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
recently uploaded. Those are my tags. So I've got,
I've got podcasts.
There's a clip from
a
clip from Fraser Crane's Funny Moments Part 1 HD from Cheers. Then there's Columbo, The Refusal, and it's him. From the Columbo channel, by the way, there's a clip from Sin City. There's a clip from Arrested Development. There's football supporters singing Will Griggs on Fire. Like all this kind
of
stuff.
A lot of TV stuff. A lot of copyrighted stuff by the sounds of it. Like not a lot of original stuff there. It's all like
it's all
clips of TV and movies that you can't be asked to sit through the whole thing or don't want to.
Or it's I've seen it before and I just forgot. Like, there are clips, like, there's that bit in The Wire where the entire scene, it's McNulty and, what's the copper's name? I can't remember. They go
and
to...
And they just say fuck.
Yeah, they just say fuck. Like, I watched that the other day.
Yeah, I like that one. Where
that's a great scene.
Now all I get is recommendations for clips from The Wire.
It's that's a great scene, actually.
I really like
Tom
that.
Scott videos, I get recommended a lot of those. For some reason, I get loads of Mad Men suggestions. I haven't even finished watching the entire series. Like, I kind of just got a little
Have you, like, looked up stuff in the past about it? Like, out of curiosity?
No, but I clicked one.
Weird.
Loads of Christopher Hitchens things, because I watched a Christopher Hitchens compilation one time. So now all I get is Christopher Hitchens things.
Well, I mean, that's all that. That's very... I don't know. Watching that sort of atheist sort of rhetoric was very powerful. His arguments, weren't they, Christopher Hitchens?
Right, but it's not just about atheism. Like, he talks. I think Christopher Hitchens was very, very, very interesting guy. Very intelligent, very well read,
great speaker,
great, like, wonderful
great
debater.
Character. I mean, he'd be incredible now on YouTube, wouldn't he? If he hadn't died.
Talking. Yeah. Terrible.
Well. I mean, yeah.
I mean, he had a really good way of cutting through. Like, I always felt like his arguments had an absolute moral core that was inarguable. Like, you couldn't argue against him because it was like, I mean, he'd studied morality and philosophy so widely in history. His understanding of facts and figures and names and quotes and things was ridiculous. So someone says something and he pulls them up on it and they just don't have a response. I will say this, a lot of the debates are very tedious because it's kind of one-sided. It's like watching someone it's like watching Real Madrid beat a pub team. It's like, that'll be entertaining once, but if they keep doing it, it's just like, geez, you know, give it a rest.
Calm down, Real Madrid. Geez.
Yeah.
It is Christ interesting.
Take it easy.
Because you see that often in these debates where people are poorly informed on one side and they say something that is like wrong or, you know, kind of this stereotype, and the other person doesn't realize that it's wrong and can't really call them up, and even if they do call them up, they can't they don't have the facts at hand or whatever. Do you know what I mean? They don't have it's like when you write an essay or something, you could constantly put in citations as you go through, right? Whereas when you're in a debate or speaking on a stage, that isn't there. And so you have to rely on either your own prep work, a great deal of groundwork, you know, or a real just solid base of knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Christopher Hitchens had. It was like this great memory for, like you said, those kind of unerring moral arguments that mean that, you've just made me a believer in one sentence, you know, because that isn't...
You need to have a lot of experience in debating and arguing so that when your opponent says something, you don't need to think and fumble around for an answer. He's already heard this argument before. Like, the more you debate, I think, especially a specific topic like he has, he spent a lot of time debating religion. Most of the arguments that are pro-religion, he's heard them before. And more often than not, I'm sure he's heard them that weren't on a televised debate. So he's got his answer ready to go. And he's got, you know, he just knows.
I love those really prepared answers, like you guys said, though, where they just calmly sort of like whittle through this. It doesn't even feel like an overly prepared response, but it feels like something natural. But it's just put forward so eloquently and calmly, and like, you know, it's not somebody screaming a point or
right.
making like a fool of themselves. Like I really like that. I like
Everybody, the number one comment you see in these is that this is missing from current politics, and I think is absolutely true. Is a couple of really smart people sitting down and talking about an issue. Why is that? Why is that not something that we see anymore? If you
because
do see that,
the people
it
who
tends
get
to
into
too-
politics aren't smart people who want to debate issues.
Right, but if why are they suddenly not smart? Have they always been that? Has it always been that way?
I think so.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
Well, then how come we used to have this and now we don't? What
we
changed?
Don't, we didn't used to. They want you to think that we
we've
used
never
to.
Had it.
Yeah,
I'm literally watching it though.
We're so like, we're such old men.
I'm just. I think if we're going to go down the road that all politicians are inherently evil and stupid,
I don't think that they're evil. I think that they get into politics for all the wrong reasons.
This,
I think the people who would be really good in politics, who would do the right things, aren't interested in getting into politics because of all the fucking clowns they have to deal with.
I think we do live in the era of the professional politician. Yeah. You know, it used to be that presidents came from the law or doctors or, you know, different other. You know, they had a calling and a job and a life in the real world. And now we have this career politician, the idea that you can go to school, study politics and be a politician.
I will say this, most of
us feel that they're out of touch.
Most of the politicians in America are still lawyers. Like, they're almost all lawyers. I mean, for me...
Have you guys ever heard of Al Franken before?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He wrote a bunch of political books, and then he eventually became senator of Wisconsin somewhere. But he got canceled as well. There was sexual misconduct allegations and stuff, and
he was quite good.
He resigned from his... Yeah. But I remember reading his books before he even got into politics and thinking, wow, you know, this guy is really switched on. He knows a lot about politics. Like, why isn't he just a politician? And then, sure enough, he became one. He's not anymore. But
that's quite unusual, I think.
It is very unusual.
Here's my problem. If we're going to say that politicians have always been, and I think you're right, they've always been, you know, career politicians, and they got into it for various reasons. The coverage around politics has changed more than politicians have changed. I think politicians are essentially at core the same.
Yeah.
But what's changed is how they present themselves publicly, because a lot of people are looking for sort of gotcha interviews. There was a period where interviews with politicians were very dull. And then we had a few scandals and a few terrible interviews where the politician's career was ended because of a bad interview. So now they just don't do real interviews anymore. But in response to that, we've also decided that rather than having two intelligent people sit down and debate an issue from each side, we're just going to have people screaming at each other on fucking Newsnight or whatever. And that seems to be what it is. Now, if politicians haven't changed at their core, when did our coverage of them change? What was it that meant that suddenly everything had to be a screaming match and all debates had to be people shouting at each other and there was no one actually saying, well, that's not true? Like,
it
why are
bizarre,
people allowed to lie and evade?
I think young people are more exposed to politics now through social media, through like things like, you know, YouTube, and you know, like people have phones, they can look at
right.
clips of
but
stuff or whatever. Like when I was a kid, and I can safely say for the people that I was surrounded with as kids and stuff as well, none of us were into politics. Like it wasn't something that
you had an
abundance of access to. No, but I think there's more awareness of who's said what. You know, like people are much more aware of like Trump, probably for all the wrong reasons because of the stuff that he says and the videos that go out about him and stuff like that. I think on average, younger people have more access to politics than they ever have. And maybe that's changed things slightly. Maybe they feel like
the kids are to blame, as usual.
No, I'm not blaming kids, but I'm saying, you know, a lot of these politicians, you know, big PR companies behind them who are looking at demographics, who are looking at trends, who are looking at all this stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, Boris is a perfect example of that. You know, this is a guy who is basically 100% run by a PR company. Like all of his lead up is his campaigns, all of this shit about
Absolutely.
Fucking making buses out of cardboard boxes.
When did this happen?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
I think it's been going on for ages, but I think
you can watch
the demographics
Yes, Prime Minister,
have changed and a little. So
there's this TV show called Yes, Prime Minister from the 80s.
And Yes, Minister before that, yeah.
Yes, Minister and Yes, Prime Minister. It's great. And actually, that's one of the ones that I get recommended on YouTube.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Yeah.
My top ones, my tags at the top, for some reason, my very first one is Divinity Original Sin 2.
How fucking weird.
Well, I've never watched a Divinity Original Sin 2, including the ones that we made. I've never watched them.
Me neither.
I wouldn't have even clicked on them to look at comments. Nothing.
It's been that long since you logged into your YouTube channel.
Well, not really, because there's some more relevant stuff here, like more recent stuff. Like
what is that? What else is
there? There's a bunch of hip hop stuff in here. No, there's nothing.
If you don't have to talk about it. It's weird.
The Elder
stuff,
Scrolls
you know.
Is another one of my tags. Warcraft, PUBG. Fallout New Vegas, City Building Games, podcast,
City Building,
comedy,
City Building Games.
Yeah, Crusader Kings 2. These are all tags for me. There's a lot of Norm MacDonald stuff because I tend to watch.
I also get a lot of Norm stuff from his podcast that he did, which is really fucking funny. Yeah. Adam Egan. Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of like sort of spoof parody hip hop things on here, which I barely ever watched. I don't know why I'm getting recommended these.
Oh, I've been getting the chess stuff as well.
Oh, man.
I get a lot of Vlad TV stuff, which is like DJ Vlad, who interviews a lot of rappers. Like there's one here, Chuck D on Lord Jamar saying Eminem is a guest in hip hop. This is 2 months ago. I never watched this, but I'm getting recommended this stuff. Lots of Norm stuff. Boosting stop motion to 60 FPS using AI. Lego wow. Eddie. I don't.
Did you guys ever watch Jelly's Marble Run?
Not even once have I watched anything
yes,
like that.
Yes, I watched Jelly's Marble Run. I got into him in a big way.
My kids
They're so
love
silly.
That so much.
And
so,
my
so
kids
much.
Used to watch Marble Run stuff all the time, too.
It's so much better than like F1.
It is.
If you think you like F1, you will love
it.
Jelly's Marble Run. Right. Or the Olympics. Like, just because it's like all of the randomness and all of that exciting commentary, right? All that hype without any of the real shit.
Also, is the little details he puts in, like the crowd is organized. You have marbles of the same color as the marbles that are running in sort of groups. They're like cheering for their marble.
Jelly's
like,
Marble Runs.
They're
Pause
amazing.
This podcast.
Go watch
look
them
it up
right now.
And watch a video because it's fucking
It's a hole,
brilliant.
Bro. You'll go down a hole. Trust me.
It's brilliant. There's some holes. Tom recommended me a hole on YouTube this week, right. And I looked at it, and I almost puked. There's this guy called Sausage Steve or something like that.
Right.
Is that what it is? No. Sausage and Party Trailer Puppet Steve Reaction Video.
What is? No, that's not it.
Homemade Salami with Steve Lamb in the River Cottage?
No, it's this guy who makes Ordinary Sausage. There you go. It's called Ordinary Sausage.
Ordinary Sausage. Okay,
and it's a guy on YouTube who makes things into sausages.
So the Travis
started,
Scott
like,
sausage,
with a,
White Castle sausage, Fleet O'
with
Fish.
With an entire KFC bucket he puts
oh
in a sausage
God.
Maker.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And makes it into a sausage. And yeah, like it is repellent. And you have to watch through closed eyes sometimes when he's making the sausages.
That's disgusting.
But it's I don't know, it's weirdly Moorish in a sense, like it's interesting. It's almost like the whole thing is like, you know, that YouTube thing of someone has a stupid YouTube channel where they crush things or they put a 1,000-degree hot
oh,
knife through
something. Oh man, yeah.
This is the guy who makes things into a
sausage.
So he made like a sausage out of a block of cheese and some ice, right. And I don't know. Just
does
and
he
they
eat
all,
the sausage at the end?
Yeah, he tries them all, oh. And some of them are, it turns out apparently great. He made like a lobster one that looked really cool. And,
have you heard
but it was
of
like 30 buck sausage? It was like
I think the guy's called Report of the Week, and he does one where he starts it. He goes, "Welcome to Report of the Week, running on empty food." Review. That's how he introduces the video.
This guy, yeah, he's famous.
Right.
Very famous.
So he does, he just reviews fast food. That's it. So it's
Jesus.
Like Wendy's has brought out a new chicken burger, and there he is, and he's got the chicken burger, and he talks for like 10 minutes about the burger and about his week and stuff. And then
all of this fast food looks so sad.
It looks
can
very
I just
sad.
Say,
fuck me,
just
man.
Literally, anytime.
Like you, so he has to fucking eat all of this stuff, obviously, to review it. Fuck, imagine that. Fuck. I can't remember the last time I ate something from Wendy's or McDonald's. Or
well, he does.
Like, that's fucking gross.
Like, he eats it, and the weird thing is normally when I think of food reviews, you would cut out the eating part because that's the least, and watching someone else eat to me is not a fun thing. Like, just sitting and watching someone eat. I hate the
sounds as well.
It's horrible. It's disgusting.
If you're in, like, an empty, quiet room and somebody's smacking away or whatever, oh, fuck. That drives me crazy.
I hate noisy eaters. Like, I can't abide it.
The lip smacking and shit.
Sometimes, like, sometimes someone, like, being a noisy drinker is just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
Someone big glugging.
Loud ass.
Because it makes me paranoid, though. It makes me think, am I a noisy eater or am I a noisy drinker?
What about people who absolutely manhandle a bottle? You know, like when you drink water out of a bottle, like people who suck the water out of the bottle so that, like, the whole bottle, like, almost, like you know,
collapses
in on itself and it makes that loud clacking noise?
Like they've just fucking walked in from
a
Saharan trek and they're, like, glugging it. Yeah. Why did the people do that?
I hate that.
I think to them, it's like, if it doesn't bother you, then you assume it doesn't bother other people. Like, I've eaten with some disgusting eaters, like genuinely revolting. And
I wonder if it's very disrespectful.
No. I would have said, like, you know me, I would have said, Jesus Christ, would you mind? Like, people like, it's like, calm the fuck down. It's a hamburger. Like, just chill. Like, we don't need the detail. I get it. You're enjoying your burger. You don't need to shovel it in your face. Like, you're going to die.
Do you know anybody who becomes, like, possessed by food? Like, when they start eating, they're sweating and they're just fully, they can't even speak anymore. Like, they're just, like, fully fixated on eating their food. I've known a couple of people like that. I've always found that really interesting. They're just like, I mean, their brain will just not.
They switches off. That's it. They're eating.
Completely. Yeah. They're eating and that's it. It's weird, isn't it?
You know what? That's Mrs. F is a very determined eater.
Right.
Like, she's not a conversationist. To her, she want to have a lovely, like, we go out for a meal. I'm a very slow eater, ponderous almost. I take my time.
That's really good. Because very few people are, especially dads, because you haven't got time.
No, yeah.
You
know, I eat fast. I think out of necessity, though, because, like,
Ben is, like, the fastest eater I think I've ever seen.
I think when you're a dad, though, especially if your kids are still small, you kind of have to be, because you just, like, you don't get a lot of time to sit down and enjoy food. You just have to wolf it down and then get ready to fucking clean all of their food off their face and everywhere else that it's gotten to during the meal or whatever. Like, I think it's a necessity thing, right?
Like, my youngest is a talker. Like, when she's eating, she'll be chatting. So you'll put her dinner. She's like, I'm starving. You're like, what's for dinner? You give her dinner and she's like, oh, great. I'm so hungry. She takes one bite and then she's like, guess what happened today in school? You won't believe this.
And I love this. This is so healthy though, right? I'm that, right? I'm the one who's eaten. Like, yesterday we went out for burgers, me, Ravs, Ben and Joe. I had eaten my onion rings before, and they'd finished their meals. I hadn't even touched my burger yet. And I sort of forgot it was there, actually, because the onion was so filling. I was like, oh, fuck, I've got a whole burger left, and you guys are finished. And then I had to, like, eat it, like, I felt like I was eating it, like, at speed. I was, like, pacing myself, like, fuck, how quickly can I get this
thing? I'm not a first eater either.
I felt awful afterwards.
I don't know. I mean, it's like a meal alone, I'll just get on with it. But I'll normally be watching TV or something like that. Like, I'm on the sofa in front of the TV eater these days. I don't eat with the kids. It's disgusting. I don't want to eat anywhere near the kids. Yeah. Their table manners are revolting.
I hear that. Last time I said this, people were commenting questioning if I was actually a good dad and if I was...
Well, they can go fuck themselves.
If I was actually harming my kids by not wanting to eat with them.
You've got
to
teach them. That's your role.
Fuck me, man.
Come over here and have dinner with my kids.
It's the fucking worst, okay?
It's revolting. It's revolting.
I don't even find it revolting. It's just annoying. It's just annoying because you're just sitting there, you're trying to eat, and it's just like fucking a million questions about nonsense and then putting off because they don't want to eat. Okay, like if it was a chocolate cake, you wouldn't hear a fucking word.
Oh, exactly right,
they'd be
buddy.
Wolfing it down, but because it's like not chocolate cake. You have to go through, why is water wet? And all this stuff. And it's just like, fuck, I'm just eating. Like, I want to eat 5 minutes and I want to go. Like, I do not want to sit here. But it's
also,
oh,
you
fuck,
know, they
the
ain't fucking eating. Like, that's the worst thing is like, because then they'll be like, I would only eat my vegetables. They're cold. You're like, yeah, because you fucking ran your mouth for 10 fucking minutes.
Sit down and talk about your day. Okay. sure, maybe some people do that. Okay, my family does not do that. How was your day? Good. Dad, why do birds fly? Okay, you know, like, you know what I mean? It's not, it's, you're not having a meaningful conversation. You're having a, I'm going to do everything in my power to not eat this food in front of me.
Exactly, right.
And so I'm going to think up these dumb questions that are going to lead into other dumb questions and waste a whole bunch of time, and then the food will be cold, and then I'll have a good excuse to not eat it. And then
So basically your attitude is that your kids are trying to trick you into
not so much, but it is a production. It is for sure a production. So people who don't have kids. No, you don't have kids, so of course don't understand. You don't agree with that.
They're like, but it's a magical time with the family where you're meant to bond. Sure. Get te fuck. Okay?
Yeah, you know what else is a magical time for the family? When you're trying to get them ready for bed. Because that's another thing they never want to do, right?
Exactly. So they're so transparent.
All of a sudden, it's like fucking, I've decided that I'm going to learn how to play Let It Be on the piano at bedtime. All right, great. This is great. You know what I mean? It's just, it's always something, right?
People don't understand. But I guarantee you, every parent out there is nodding along with this and going, yep, fucking assholes at dinner time and at bedtime.
You know what?
And everyone it's meant to be a magical family time hasn't got fucking kids, all right? You don't. Because they will try every trick in the book.
You know what
to
is a magical family time, though? When everybody's eating ice cream, because that's something everybody wants to do at the same time.
No, quiet, like, peaceful, everyone happy. Bingo.
Yeah, everybody is happy when you all eat ice cream together. That's
amazing,
that's
isn't
a great
it? How quiet they get
time.
And how focused when it's dessert.
Yeah, everybody's focused on the task of obtaining and then consuming the ice cream.
The dessert, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's like a well-oiled machine when you get the ice cream.
That's how you know they're full of shit the rest of the time.
As an outsider. Oh, my God.
last night, my youngest, we got some little mini tiramisus from the supermarket because the girls love tiramisu. Mrs. F does too. So my youngest is there. And we had chicken and leek pie with mashed potato for dinner. And my youngest
sounds
as I
like
said,
heaven.
Huh?
I'm not a huge fan of leek. I don't know.
In the pie, it's good. I'm not a leek fan either.
Yeah, in the pie, it's all right. But leek and potato soup can fuck right off, honestly.
It's just annoying,
gross.
Right? But in the pie, leek. Trust me, it works very well in the pie.
Yeah, leek pie sounds good.
We've all finished. My youngest, as usual, is still up there farting about.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, if you finish, she's like, yep. And she sneaks her plate off to the bin to scrape what's left in there.
Yeah.
And my wife says, did you eat all of it?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, ate all of it. And then my wife's like, you know, really? She's like, well, a little bit of crust. I left some crust. And now my wife loves the pie crust. She thinks it's the highlight of the pie in many ways. is the pie crust. So she's offended. She's instantly offended by this. And she says, right. So she grabs my youngest's dessert off her, takes a big spoonful and eats it. And my youngest,
oh my God.
My youngest starts crying her eyes out.
Oh my God.
And now here's the thing. My wife is a very calm person. Very logical, she's very cool, very chill. You've met her, she's very cool. She's not an overly emotional person, but she will go from fucking 0 to 1 million miles an hour if the kids are pissing her off, and she will eat your dessert if you fucking leave some pie crust.
That's pretty cry-worthy.
She's literally like, boom. So I cannot stand when my kids cry about stupid shit like desserts, because it always annoys me that they're crying their eyes out about a mouthful of tiramisu. And it makes me feel like they're the most privileged little shits. And I'm like, I have zero tolerance for that.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, if you're going to cry, go to your room and cry. You can finish dessert up there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's just an escalation. She's nearly 9.
Yeah,
so she's not
like
a baby.
That's, that's still like at that age where stuff, every once in a while, like they're grown up enough to not let things really bug them that much, but every once in a while, everything gets on top of them, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they'll just have a breakdown.
But my 11-year-old, she was never like this. They're just very different. They're very different.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to break her tolerance for crying about every little thing. Like, it's not healthy to cry about your dessert. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not. I think it's...
Well, then again...
It's a production. Like, she's putting it on. She's doing that thing where they cry and then they look around at you, you know?
I know women...
I don't believe you.
Who are in their 30s and regularly cry for no reason.
Right.
And it's just part of who they are.
I don't know any women in their 30s who cry regularly.
I think it's just women who have to work.
Because my wife would be furious
offices.
If I was hanging people, around with people women I
know.
In their 30s.
Maybe it's my fault.
It's you.
If you're a crier and you don't know why, let me know.
I cry all the time. But I cry about shit like, you know, the ending to a sad movie.
Oh,
so much more
me.
Worthwhile. Or
me,
a really
me,
good
me,
song.
It's like... How did this army in CK3 beat my army? Like when it said that mine was going to win. That's the kind of stuff I cry about.
Mm. But not about your dessert. And she'd already had a fucking lolly. She had an ice lolly when she came home from school. It's like, how spoiled can you get?
Okay, you've got to understand, though, sometimes there's deeper layers. You know, right. Much like a tiramisu has layers.
Oh.
Rubbing
my hands at that
itself, the theft of the tiramisu may not have been the trigger. It may have been the aggressive action that was the snatching of it.
No,
it might have been the vitriol with which your wife stared at your child.
No, it was just the loss of soul a single mouthful of tiramisu. That's all it was. Trust
me. It might have just been the tip of the iceberg. There might have been other problems going on that you don't know about. It might just be.
Yeah.
It could be a whole gamut of things. And I think people are complicated. And I think we always, as men, look for solutions, right? Women do, I'm sure, actually, as well. Like someone comes to me with a problem, and I'm always like, I'm trying to find a solution, and sometimes what they want from me is just to tell me about their problem.
Well, we can't solve women's problems because most women's problems are just men, so we can't solve ourselves.
Well, no, but men come to me with their problems as well, and they're not often looking for a solution either. They just want to vent or they want to talk about it. But I always have to, because I always catch myself trying to think up an answer.
Right.
Like when you were telling me about your kids, like you know, not eating their dinner or whatever, I'm like, well, what happens if you starve them? What happens if you just don't give them any breakfast?
Oh, you got to give them
food.
That
way they're so hungry
this
when
is,
it comes down
okay,
to lunchtime.
Listen to this, okay?
Jimmy, but I'm not... This is, my, that's where my head goes. I know it's bad.
This is what
I'm just
mine
saying.
Do, okay? We sit down. You know, normally, like, my wife will, you know, get some dinner ready or whatever. We'll sit down and we'll start eating. And instantly, it'll be like... My daughter's usually pretty good. She'll start eating. She doesn't eat much. So, you know, she'll have a couple of bites and then she's like done or whatever. Mm. And my son will sit down and he'll pretend like he's starting to eat because it'll be, you know, whatever. It's like carrots or some shit that he doesn't want to eat, right? So we'll sit down. He'll start like taking a bite and then he'll be like, Dad. Yeah. Be like, how come the clouds in the sky are, it'll be some like complicated question
or
whatever.
Why is it always?
And you think, right. Okay, fair enough. So you start answering. Okay. And then
where do the poops go?
Instantly his face glazes over. Okay. Cause he doesn't actually care. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want to hear the answer. Right?
Or you're a bad storyteller. There's always two.
No. He's asked a question. Right? Right. And then you're in the middle of trying to explain to him. You get about a couple of seconds in. And then he just like interrupts, like with some other question or whatever. So you're like, okay,
like,
I see where
a
this
related
is going.
Question.
And then this goes on. We do this dance for like a little while, and then in the and then my wife will just say, Kurt, just eat, all right? Just enough questions. Just eat your dinner, all right? We're just here to eat our dinner. And then he'd be like, oh, okay. He'll take another bite, and he'd be like, actually, I'm kind of full. Like he's just like two bites like of his food, right? He's
they're
like
transparent.
I'm pretty full.
He's trying a different tack.
Yeah. So then we're just like, no. You've had like one bite of your dinner. There's no way that you're
it's
full.
It's polite. He's just trying to
but
let
then,
you know
as
in
soon
a way
as
that
he says that he's full,
you,
then
that he's not interested in the pie.
Yeah. So as soon as he says he's full after two bites, then my daughter's like, yeah, I'm full too. Because they just want to go play.
Yeah,
right?
They
like,
just want to go play.
They just cannot fucking be bothered.
They're not hungry.
And they have a couple of like a couple of ways around it that they think will work that never work. And then in the end, it just becomes such a battle that you're just like, okay, fine. And then we're putting them to bed shortly after this. And then they're both like, I'm hungry. Like,
exactly. Well, that's the killer.
What the fuck? You had a whole plate of food in front of you. We were talking about clouds and fucking why birds have wings and shit. And then you said you're full. And I figured that was the end of it. But no, now you're hungry again. So then
just drink some water.
You
Jesus
can't send them to bed hungry. So then they end up eating like fucking, I don't know,
I
fruit
would.
Or like some rice pudding or some shit that takes way longer than it should to eat, because again, it's just another way to delay the inevitable sort of thing. And that's basically kids between the age of like 4
why
and
do they
I'd
hate
say
going to bed so much?
12
why?
Or so are
because
just
it's
like
lost
that.
Time.
Yeah.
Like you think about this when my kids go to when it's bedtime, they go up to their room and they are unsupervised playing for like an hour and a half. And it's like their actual complete free time for the day. Like, imagine if your job involved getting up at 7 a.m, you're told what to do from that point for the next 12 hours. You're either,
prison.
Yeah. Exactly.
School is like prison.
You're either at home where you're told what to do and you ask for stuff and the answer will generally be no. Then you have to go to school and you're ferried from place to place and told what to do, when to eat. You have to ask for permission to go to the bathroom. You come home from school, you're told do your homework, tidy your room. You're given a list of shit to do. Again, you're under somebody else's rules. Finally, it's bedtime. You brush your teeth. Again, that's the last thing. So brush your teeth. So they have to brush their teeth. Then they're free.
Yeah.
For like an hour to an hour and a half. Sleep is the last thing they want to do because it's wasted time. What have they got to look forward to? They wake up the next day for another life of servitude.
Oh, man, there's always something. You think you're there. You think you're like, okay, they've gone to the toilet. They brush their teeth. They're all fucking ready. We've read a story. Like, we've fucking done the lot. You know, there's nothing else that you could do. And it's like, can I read a comic for a couple of minutes or something?
Can I do some collage, please?
I was thinking of maybe doing some paper mache now. It's like, oh, what? And sometimes we just let them. Sometimes we're just so fucking done that it's just like, you know what? Knock yourself out. Like,
yeah.
And then they go to bed at like 11 because you're just like, whatever. Like, fuck
also,
me.
Also, remember that essentially, especially when they're really little, they literally, their entire life revolves around spending time with their parents.
Yeah,
they want to spend every single second.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I mean, it's horrible to think of, but kids will even provoke an argument with their parent for the attention.
Just to be close to the parent.
At least you're talking to them, you know what I mean? Yeah. Rather than on your iPad playing some
mobile game. Ours are pretty good in that sense. The attention that they get is never really negative. They don't play up too much. Like, they're not like, they don't provoke arguments or whatever. They get a lot of our time, a lot of our attention and stuff. They're certainly not attention starved. Like, we're not just sitting around on tablets and phones ignoring them or whatever.
But it doesn't
like,
matter. It's never enough for kids. That's the thing. It is never enough.
It's just like, this is an insatiable appetite for attention with a kid, right? They just need.
They love your attention. Yeah.
Forever.
It's so weird because it is all about these hidden meanings, right? You have to almost be a detective or a dad or used to it in order to sort of dig deeper. You know, what is the real issue?
You just pull a Columbo.
And I think that life is like that often. Like, people don't mean to not say or like what they mean. You know, like even when people, you know, I think a lot of people, first of all, a lot of people don't know even what they want when they tell someone something. You know, they don't know what they want. You know, when someone tells me about their trouble they've been having with whatever, I guess they just want to get it off their chest, or they're venting, but they don't know what they want. They just know they want to tell it to someone, right? And I don't know what to do. I don't know whether they want me to solve this problem or just be a shoulder to cry on. I don't know what the answer is. They don't know what they want from me. I don't know what I'm supposed to give them. No, we're just going through life doing our best. Okay,
just trying to figure it out.
We are.
It's an odd one with kids, isn't it? But you talk to other parents and it's the same. It's the same for everybody.
I know that people listen to this podcast and get very evangelical about kids, and I don't fucking want any of your advice. Okay, believe me, I don't want comments telling me and Sips or that we're wrong or that actually this, actually that. If you've got kids and you've agreed with any of this, you save the disagreements because everybody does things differently. We're not bad parents just because occasionally we don't want to be with our fucking kids. If you have kids, you'll understand the value of some free time. I just don't want to hear any fucking tips on parenting from a fucking 15-year-old. Thank you very fucking much. Carry on.
No, that's perfectly allowed.
Hey, we live in the UK where there's a lot of 15-year-old dads out there with really good tips to give.
That's true.
I think I'm constantly making assumptions about your parenting, you know, whenever you say things. And it's so easy as an outsider to do that, right? To judge you and not have a clue what it's actually like. Or what you go through, or even really understand the full context of these stories.
Right.
I think that sometimes it's easy to get the wrong end of the
stick. Also, bear in mind that we exaggerate a lot. You know, Yes. I mean, you talk to other parents and you'd think that their kids were basically barbarians running
around trying
flaming torches.
To entertain you on this podcast, believe it or not. I know sometimes it doesn't always work out that way, but you do have to take a lot of it with a pinch of salt, you know, like, you know, where they are trying to be funny sometimes.
So, I was talking to someone this week. I don't want to necessarily reveal the stuff about this, but I thought it was funny. And they have a relative who went on a hike, in Scotland, for a week on their own. It's like a trail near where Ravs lives. It's like a common
trail. The Ravsian Trail, Ark, I know it well.
And it's like this commonly walked thing along Ben Nevis. It's quite beautiful.
Right.
Scottish Highlands. Right. You know, it's a nice time to walk it as well because the weather's quite good. And they wrote like this sort of blog post of them, of the story of them going on the trip, right? And I happened to read it. It was just sort of, you know, it just pops up in your timeline or whatever. It's like a thing. And they're quite a healthy person, right? They're quite fit and healthy. Right. But their attitude towards food was really weird, right? So they started off by having a Greggs, okay? It was like I stopped up on Greggs. That was like the first
thing.
What
kind of thing were they having at Greggs, though?
Sausage roll?
I think it's like a sausage roll and like one of those pre-made sandwiches, maybe, okay. Right? So not too bad.
Two things.
Right? But then...
A sausage roll and a sandwich?
Well, it's a long trek.
It's like 5 days.
Right.
But
wait, like, they had a sausage roll and one sandwich for 5 days?
Well, no, but I'm getting to it. Okay, so sorry, day one, they did the sausage roll and the sandwich, and then... trekked the whole day, had like
this is such a fucking English
crisps.
Podcast, isn't it? Some fucking talk about. And he stayed in his caravan.
What kind of crisps?
A really
what
nice setup
crisps?
With the caravan too.
for dinner they went to Wetherspoons, right?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Sure, and had like whiskey and a pie at Wetherspoons. So I was like, okay,
posh
fine.
Bastard.
Next morning, woke up and had a sausage sandwich.
Right.
Okay. For breakfast, basically, because they like saw a Scottish place. They're like, oh, a sausage sandwich on sale.
Oh yeah,
sausage
on
sandwich
sale.
Breakfast
on wow. sale. Was it in the window?
Big
like, with
clear out sale.
Well, sale
on sausage sandwiches.
All sausages must go.
Well, first of all, I assumed they were walking through the fucking wilderness. Apparently, day one there was a Wetherspoons, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that fucking much of wilderness, is
no.
it?
No. Scotland.
Day
there's
two,
only so much wilderness up there. Like it's.
Day
not
two,
happening.
They had sausage sandwich for breakfast. Bacon sandwich for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then a curry for dinner. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
What is this? Like, where are they getting this stuff from?
Why? How dare
like,
these people
just,
have so much
just
fucking
carried
fun
on, like,
as well? Like, fuck these guys. What the fuck is this?
Day three, they had chocolate cake for
Jesus.
Breakfast. And I was like, how are you having chocolate cake for breakfast? Where did that come
what
from?
What the fuck is wrong?
Where did you buy that?
Where do these people find their
balls? They're camping out
Jeez.
In the Scottish fucking wilderness. Like, and I was sort of like, I understood like the attitude. It was like, I can eat high calorie food because I'm walking 90 miles, right? Fair enough.
Oh,
like,
90
uphill,
miles is a long way, though.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way.
Yeah. I was something like 95 miles over the four
I would want
to
carb
so
up
long,
hard for 90 miles as well. Like, even before I get on a long haul flight, I'm in the airport, I'm carbing up like crazy. Like, you got
it. Oh, you know what's good to take on a flight? Pack of crisps.
Oh,
love it.
Fuck yeah.
It's because, first of all, well, there's three things. Number one, you get a pack of crisps in mid-flight and the snacks normally cost money or they're shit. You get a nice pack of crisps,
yes.
Bingo. Number two, when you open them, because of the pressure difference, the odor of the crisps invades the entire airspace. Everybody knows you've got crisps and they haven't in your face. And number three, when you take it from the ground up, it's suddenly the bag is massive. It's all like the bag is
and
all
especially
all
if it's
up.
Real McCoy's cheddar and onion. Oh.
McCoy's.
Oh, you've got to love
those. Oh, I haven't eaten
those.
McCoy's in years.
Fuck, they are so good. Oh, man, they're so thick as well. I love them. They're crunchy and
they are a hell of a crisp.
This podcast. So honestly, like the whole trip, I don't think they ate a single healthy thing at all.
Well, I think if you're walking 90 miles,
it was
all
just,
getting
it was
burned
just
off.
Scottish fare.
Sure.
It was
but
chips.
You're reading this trip about a guy
chips
going up
and
Nevis. Your only takeaway is what did he eat? You're obsessed, man. You're obsessed.
The thing is, have you ever seen...
I think they were obsessed, though. It was like they'd gone on this walk to talk about what things they got to eat.
That's
it was like a fucking a junk
have
food tour
like,
of the wilderness.
Have you ever seen like what Michael Phelps ate? Like in general, you know, when he at the height of his fucking swimming career,
that was nuts.
I mean,
though.
But that's the
that
thing.
Was
he just
nuts.
Needed fucking calories out the wazoo just to keep going. He was like a fucking machine. You know what I mean? I think if you're going to walk 90 miles, whatever. It doesn't matter what you eat. Your body is just going to fucking process the shit out of it.
If you know yourself, go for it. Like, Joby, but like, fucking,
if you're in your 50s and you're obese and you're doing a 90-mile walk and you're eating bacon sandwiches nonstop, maybe you should rethink your strategy. But like, you know, if none of those things are being ticked, none of those boxes are being ticked except for the 90-mile walk, I think you're probably fine. Like, your body will process the shit out of all that. Like, it doesn't matter. It'll find what it needs. And if it doesn't, you'll know about it.
And I bet when it got to like 8, 9 o'clock at night, they were tired out. And they didn't have to fuck around with rice pudding or doing some papier-mâché or none of that shit. They were just in bed.
Just like,
Maybe that's it. Maybe you need to tire the kids out a bit more. Run them around. Man, like, get them
a there's nothing else that we can do to tire these children out, okay? Like, they go to the beach every day. They run around like maniacs. Like, what the fuck else can we do? Like, it's crazy.
You can't tire them out. You cannot. You can definitely get to a point where they are nowhere near tired because you've done fuck all day. That can be its own problem.
The other thing, if you think
you can tire them out, trust me, they have bottomless reserves of energy.
The thing is, they can get overtired as well, which is even worse.
Even worse. Oh. It's a very fine line to get them exactly the right amount of tired.
It's impossible.
Very fine.
It's impossible. It's like sinking a hole in one on a par four from the tee with a putter. You know what
I mean?
It's impossible. Like, it's that laser accuracy that you would need, but it's just impossible.
It's weird because when you get to our age, we're always a certain level of tired. Right? We're always just ready
for a
nap. We can have it at any
time. You know what, though? It's because the older you get and the more responsibilities you have with kids and everything, I find, like, it's true. I feel more tired, but I also feel like not so much now in particular, but more so when I had to work in an office, I had to leave the house to work in an office. I found that for the majority of the day, I was doing things I did not want to do. And I felt exhausted all the time, right? Like, it's not so bad now because I play video games all day, which is pretty much what I want to do, right? And I never get tired of doing that. Like, I can stay up all night playing a game that I'm really enjoying or whatever, and I don't feel tired. But when you're lumbered with a million things that you don't want to do, all of a sudden you feel really tired, right? It's definitely hooked into responsibility and having to spend a bunch of time doing stuff that you don't necessarily want to do. Like, sometimes on the weekend, if we go to town, right? Like, there's just a list of things that we need to get or whatever. It's so fucking boring. I hate going to town. I hate shopping. I hate fucking buying stuff. I hate looking at stuff, browsing and shit. Like, I just hate the whole thing. I hate it. And when we get back, I'm exhausted because I've had to do this thing that I just don't like doing.
So
right?
Isn't that the most tiring thing, is standing in a shop waiting for someone else to finish
and
choosing,
like,
a fucking pair of shoes?
For me,
is there anything genuinely in life that seems longer or more tiring than that? There is not.
No,
there is nothing.
It is the worst.
God, standing outside a woman's waiting room, waiting for them to try
fucking
stuff
unbelievable.
On. My God.
Sort your shit out, women. Sort your shit out.
But the thing is, like, you know, they just want some company or whatever. And you're like, okay, sure. Like, I get that or whatever. But, like,
we're joking,
my
obviously.
My currency is totally
I'm not
different.
Joking.
I don't fucking
I am
need,
not joking.
I don't need company for trying pants on because I don't even want to try the pants on. I don't even want to buy new pants. I'm happy just wearing shorts all the time. But if I have to buy some pants,
run out
I want
of my
that
clothes
experience
and I'm happy
with
that.
With
I'm wearing like
as
track
soon as possible.
Free t-shirts.
Okay? I want to spend no more than 3 minutes on that task. Because anything more than that is a complete waste of time, right? Like, I just don't want to be there.
Here's the worst. The worst thing is, it's not even as if my opinion is respected. Because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Well,
so when Mrs. F says, which of these do you think is better? It's a classic trope.
Yeah.
If I say the blue one, she's, nah, not the blue one. It's like, you know, it's like, well, then why am I here? you're here to carry things.
Yeah.
I come to realize.
I found.
Carry
though,
this.
I found that the. I tell you what my tip for that is, P-Flex, is to say what you don't like about one of them. You never say what you like, you say what you don't like. You're like, that makes you look like a blancmange, or that looks like a
my
jellyfish.
My experience with women generally is
to,
that
how
they...
How to stay single with Lewis Brindley.
Yeah. my experience
that makes you look like a blancmange.
No,
because then they're like, yeah, it does, and they don't get it. They get the other one. You see, that's
they call it negging, don't they? You're like, it's like, you're like a pickup.
I wasn't doing it intentionally. Uh-huh.
My experience with women and clothing and fashion advice is like, a woman will say to you, well, when I say woman, I mean like my wife. Like my wife will say, what should I wear to the wedding? To a wedding. We've been invited to a wedding, say, okay? And we're going to go. Now, when she says, what should I wear to a wedding? I just think, just go like Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman. Like, that's my first, you know, whatever.
Right. A prostitute. You know?
In which outfit? The one where he just picked her up on the show?
As a prostitute.
With the miniskirt?
I just think, you know, whatever. I don't have any sort of sense for women's fashion
whatsoever. That's the worst advice.
So I just think, you know, wear something that looks nice. But like, her idea is completely different to my idea, right? But I would not dare sort of like, you know, I am very much like, what do you think looks good? And I'll just be like, A or B? Eeny, meeny, miny, miny, B. That one. And she'll be like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's great. Like,
you I'll know just what I mean? Be like, whichever one shows off your cleavage.
It's kind of like, it's kind of hard to give like a straight answer, right? And then sometimes they'll be like, would you tell me if I look big in this? You're like, yeah, I would tell you. But like, you fucking never would in a million years, right?
Right.
You never say that to your wife.
No, but you've got to.
I ain't walking down that fucking gangplank, I'll tell you right now.
No, it's a minefield, all that.
It is all about, it's like the Instagram. It's back to that
it's
thing.
Hilarious,
it's
hilarious, though. Like, I do find it posting, funny, but fuck me, man. Like,
people know what they look like. The people are hyper aware of it as well. And like I think there's this weird disconnect.
I would never like try on a suit and come out and be like, hey, do you think I look like George Clooney in this? I know I don't look like George Clooney in this suit. Okay. Like, I'm pretty realistic with like the state I'm in. And like, you know what I mean? Like, if I put a suit on and it's not like making my stomach hurt, it's a good suit. It's fine. I'll wear this, you know, whatever.
I tell
it's
you
like,
what though, there is this weird thing where you've taken a lot of photos of yourself and you see a lot of pictures of yourself, a lot of videos of yourself, and you know how you look, and you're not happy with it, but you just know how you look, right? And sometimes someone takes a nice picture of you and it doesn't really look like you.
Yeah. And it's a great picture. But you don't look like you.
And you're like, you're like, that's a great, I look great in that picture. And you realize that you don't always look like that, and it's just the nice angle, or you know, they caught you at a good moment. Yeah. And
your mouth is totally closed, so they can't see your buck teeth and stuff. But like, it's
that's
great.
Right. It's like this, and they're the Instagram pictures that people have. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's the face that you present to your, so I think what's going to happen is when all these sick formers meet each other, they're not going to recognize each other at all, because it's going to be like being catfished. They've got this idea that they're all going on this hot date with all these cool people who look really amazing and are all, you know, all have their faces like, you know, improved using these apps. Ugh. You know, everyone's using these like face changing apps to like make themselves look better on Instagram and thinner and everything. It's all fake. But when they meet people, it's like a bad internet date. So I'm just worried that all these sick formers are going to get together and just be like, normal kids,
don't worry about it.
You'll be all right.
They'll be fine.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying, I think I'm looking forward to seeing part two of the episode from Ben when he fills me in on what actually happened. Because the way he said it made it sound like I was living in some sort of, I mean, I don't understand Snapchat at all, but apparently that's how they chat. And I'm like, it just terrifies me that I'm getting so out of touch. And even when your kids grow up, it'll be even different
it
again,
will be.
Right?
And you know what? It's their thing. We don't even need to understand it. Like, I don't need to understand that. I'm never going to Snapchat somebody. I don't even fucking want to talk to people at this point in my life. Like, just leave me alone. If you want to Snapchat my kids and your friends with my kids and they like Snapchat or whatever, cool. Have fun. Like, just fucking leave me alone. I don't need to know about any of this shit. TikTok and Snapchatting and whatever. Whatever. It's for kids. Like, they can do it.
You're in your fucking 60s already, mentally.
Well, whatever.
Seriously. You sound like my dad.
I don't need this stuff,
with
though.
Your goddamn TikToks and your Instagrams.
Who the fuck am I
going to
Snapchat?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Well, yeah, but
I don't need this.
It's not for us. Exactly. It was never for us.
That's why I'm saying to Lewis, who cares? Like,
you can't judge the kids. This stuff.
Like, who are you going to Snapchat, Lewis? You don't need to Snapchat anyone.
I think it's a lot like, it was a lot like being in the Tesla last for me, right?
Back to the fucking Tesla. He's so pleased with himself about the Tesla.
So being in the Tesla, because I had been waiting for so long, I had bigged it up in my mind to be this revolutionary. I thought I was going into space in a space capsule. It was like, I was so I don't know, I'd had this
electric
idea
cars
that it was
I am
something
interested
that it
in,
really wasn't.
Yeah, I like that.
And it was just... it was just a car. And I think it's the same with Snapchat. Like, it's, you know, we had a internet AIM messenger and MSN messenger and fucking ICQ chat. They've got fucking Snapchat and it's no fucking different. And they're trying to make us think that it's different and it's they're cool and they're using things that their dads don't use.
This is,
like we did.
I love how this is
but
affecting.
It's just the fucking same. Like how- and before we had ICRC, they used the back of newspapers. I don't know what they did. They put stuff on the church notice board. Whatever.
I think they still do that stuff, you know.
Hey, God, do you guys want to hear something cool?
Okay.
Sure.
Is it about Snapchat?
Let's finish the podcast
or...
with something cool.
It's just,
what
it's
is
just
it?
to calm down a
right.
little bit.
Okay.
Right?
We're going
to
simmer
I'm
down.
I'm still doing my golf lessons. Still doing my golf
this
lessons.
This is
our golf lesson on Sunday.
Our namaste moment.
Oh,
okay, let's go.
Namaste.
Shit, I'm going to have to get golf lessons.
It's, honestly, it's so much fun. It's
I went
so much
mini
fun.
Golfing this weekend.
Right. I went real
fuck.
Golfing. So...
Fuck you. Wow, PFLAX is gatekeeping golfing after like two lessons.
Well, I'll tell you why. I was very pleased. I told everybody. We're playing that we're on the driving range, which is like an outdoor. It's like a strip of AstroTurf. I described it last week. And we, me and all the students, there's like six of us. We all hit the ball and the instructor, you know, adjusts our swing and says, put your foot there and all the rest
right.
of it. And this guy was really good. He's into like
biomechanics. Was he holding your hips like while you were swinging?
No, so still
with
waiting on that.
With his pelvis pressed up close to...
still waiting on that.
Close to the back.
So no. I'm swinging the club and everything like that. And at the start, it's really stiff and awful. And then he's sort of helped me with the swing. And he's like, do this. And by the end, it's a really nice swing. Like really straight and everything. It's looking really good. And we're chatting afterwards. And he said to me the exact phrase, you looked like a golfer today.
Oh.
Right?
Wow. Nice.
Made me very, very, very pleased. The teacher liked my golf swing.
I turned
swing.
Around and his dick was right in my mouth. I don't know what happened.
I was so happy. I was like, yes, I did a good thing.
Nice.
It felt great.
Oh, good
so
for
it's
you,
very
man. That's
satisfying.
That
you should
really
do it.
That is really satisfying, yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. Honestly, when you hit that ball and it goes ting and you see it go flying up in the air and then it lands and it's like really straight where you hit it. It's beautiful. It's a really, really good feeling.
Did you make sure that every time you're about to drive, you engaged in conversation with somebody? So you'd be like, hey, what do you think about those spurs? And then they'd be like, well, the thing is, now watch this drive. You just like, you got to interrupt them and say, now watch this drive. And then wham, you just spank it. You got to do that every time.
That'll be my God. Thing. Watch this drive.
You're not interested in their answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
now
a child.
Watch this drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Now watch this drive. That's still one of my favorite clips. I mean, even though I'm not a big Michael Moore fan, in all honesty, that is an amazing clip.
It is.
We're gonna kill the terrorists, and that's going to be it. Now watch this drive.
I love it. Yeah. It's
such a cowboy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, really is, eh? Yeah, it's good. Fuck, I even forgot that's where it was from. I just like, yeah. I remembered like the quote, but I didn't remember where it was from at all. Thanks for reminding me.
Holy crap.
I got to stop saying that.
All right, well, that's enough podcast. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Yeah, see you then.
Goodbye.
Love you, love you. Bye. Bye.